It was about 27 years ago when I told my friends and my boss that I was quitting my job so that I might go to seminary and become an Episcopal priest. Some people thought I was kidding. Some people thought I was crazy. Some people said, yeah, I kind of could see this coming. And other people said, what took you so long? And what happened, I noticed, was that people started treating me differently because they saw me differently. And I began to think of myself differently. It began a change in how I saw myself, in my identity. It was a beginning of a new part of my life. Beginnings are significant. A high school senior posts on her Facebook page that she's been accepted into the college of her choice, and everybody posts their congratulations under her post. Or we get an announcement to an invitation to a retirement party, and we go to celebrate the new change in this person's life, a new beginning of a stage of their life. Or we get a wedding announcement and prepare to go to the wedding to celebrate this new start in the person's life, and we see them in a new way. Beginnings are important because they mark a change in our behavior and in our lifestyle, but they're even more important because they mark a change in our identity. I'm a college student now. I'm retired now. I'm a married person now. We see ourselves differently. Well, that is what is happening in today's gospel lesson. Jesus comes to his hometown of Nazareth to announce a new beginning in his life, the beginning of his public ministry. In the Gospel of Luke, this is the way Luke introduces Jesus and his public ministry. The first two chapters of the Gospel of Luke are about the Christmas story. Chapter 3 is about the baptism of Jesus in the River Jordan and the temptation of Jesus by the devil in the wilderness. And now, the very next thing Luke tells us is that Jesus came to his hometown to announce the beginning of his public ministry. He comes to his hometown, and on the Sabbath, as is his custom, he goes to the synagogue. Thou shalt keep the Sabbath. He comes in and they say, oh, Jesus, son of Joseph and Mary, good to see you. Would you like to be the one to read the scripture today and to give the message? It is an honor to read the scripture. It means that you are a person of standing and respect, and you're expected to read the scripture clearly and give the sense of it, and then to provide an interpretation, a reflection on the scripture of some meaning and depth. It's a serious business to read the scripture in the synagogue. The people have heard that Jesus has been teaching in villages around Nazareth, and now they want to know, well, what is it that he's going to say to us? They're curious. To read the scripture is not a light thing. It means that you need to select the scroll, whether it be a scroll from the book of the law or from the book of the prophets. You have to receive it with tenderness and care from the attendant. You have to open it carefully without tearing the scroll. And then you have to turn the handles of the scroll until you find the place where you want to read. And then read the words clearly to show that you have an understanding of the passage and to help the people understand what God is saying through this scripture. It's not a light thing to read the scripture. So Jesus asks, not for the scroll of the law, he's not going to hit them over the head with the law, but he asks for a scroll from one of the prophets, the prophet Isaiah. And he unrolls the scroll until he finds a passage which we know as Isaiah 61. And he reads from it. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he says, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and deliverance and sight to the blind, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, the Jubilee. These words that he is reading were written 600 years before by the prophet Isaiah. And Isaiah was speaking to the exiles in Babylon. They had been taken from their home in Jerusalem and held in captivity in Babylon. And he was speaking to them, giving them good news, telling them that he was the one to pronounce to them that God was going to bring them back to Jerusalem. God was going to heal them and bring them back and liberate them and bring them to their home. So Jesus rolls up the scroll and he hands it back to the attendant and he sits down. It may seem odd to us that he sits down, but sitting is the proper posture for the preacher in a synagogue. Sitting means that you're grounded, you're solid, you're speaking with authority. And so Jesus allows a little silence to settle over the assembly, and then he gives his sermon. It's one sentence. He says, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." In other words, the words of Isaiah have now become his words. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has sent me to proclaim good news to the poor, and to heal the captives, and to bring them home, and to pronounce the year of the Lord's favor. What Jesus is saying, that is, he's announcing the beginning of his ministry to preach and to teach, to heal, and to liberate. Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me. It's a powerful moment in the synagogue. And now people see him not as the son of Mary and Joseph, but they see him in a new light, and they see him with a new identity. And I think maybe he sees himself in a new way as well. Well, this morning, our deacon brought the gospel into our midst, and he held it up above us, and we all stood up, and he proclaimed the word of the Lord, and afterwards we said, "Praise to you, Lord Christ." I think he was, as he said those words, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has sent me to proclaim good news to the poor," he was speaking for all of us. Today, we have been anointed. We have been sent by God to proclaim the good news of Jesus, because that is what our baptismal ministry is about. Sometimes we do that in literal ways. We give good news to the poor when we feed the people down at Lord's Neighborhood Diner, when we give to our outreach programs, when we do our prison ministries, we speak good news to those in prison. But we also fulfill that commandment in other ways, in the way we live our lives, the way we exemplify Christ in our own lives so that people might see Christ in us. It's our mission to bring the good news of Christ to the world around us. You might have read the article in the newsletter by Charles Smith. He gave us a copy of an article from the diocesan newsletter about how Bishop Rickle has been meeting with young adults, people between 20 and 30 years of age. He does this because he's trying to get a grip on where the church ought to be going and what the future of the church is. So he meets with these younger adults and asks them some questions. I thought it was very insightful what he came up with. The first question he asked them was, what brought you to the Episcopal Church and what keeps you here? And here's what they said. "The honesty and vulnerability of the people in our churches. The openness that you find when you come to an Episcopal church. Countercultural identity. That the Episcopal church has got something different to say. They said, in the Episcopal Church, I can be myself and I can be accepted. They said, the Episcopal Church has a message of progressive responsibility, and that resonates with me. And they said that the Episcopal Church has been honest about its failings of the past. Those were things that attracted people to the Episcopal Church and kept them there. And then he asked a second question, which is, what would you change about the Episcopal Church and what could be improved? The first thing they said was, well, you can ask a little more out of us. We're waiting to be given some responsibility, so help us to step up. Another thing they said was, reclaim the Bible for us. Help us know what the Episcopal understanding, the Episcopal perspective on Scripture is. And explain the church better to us. Explain the liturgy and the theology of the church. We're hungry for that. And being young people, they said, learn how to market the church better. You know, young people know how to do that, and they're waiting for us to get on the bandwagon. And last of all, they said, respond to current events better in worship and in the life of the church. Really interesting what they're telling us. They want to be engaged, and they want to live into the life of the Episcopal Church. This is how, I think, what they're telling us is, this is how the Episcopal Church can proclaim the good news of Christ to our world today. This is who we are. This is our baptismal identity as followers of Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us. He has anointed us and sent us to proclaim the good news of Christ. May these words be fulfilled in our hearing. Amen.